In our Bibles this morning, we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Philippians now. We're in Philippians chapter number 3. We're making some good progress. Again, depending on what you mean by good, right? Okay. But we are working our way through it here. Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to pick up today. We've gotten all the way down to verse 17. Philippians 3:17, and it says this. Philippians 3:17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk." For you got to know that when Paul had to write that, that was a heavy thing to say for him, his heart. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior." And who's the Savior, by the way? Say it out loud with me together. Who's the Savior? What's it say right there?
Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ. See how he uses his full wonderful title there? "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we could spend some time this morning in your word and in fellowship, whether it's here in person or by extension online, to sing the songs of the faith, songs that convey your faithfulness throughout all ages. And because of your faithfulness, that's why we can trust you. We ask, Father, that as we continue to study here this wonderful book of Philippians, that we would appreciate the seriousness of what is being conveyed here, and that we would take it seriously. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, as you can see, the passages that we just read this morning, 17, 18, 19, all the way down to verse 20, 21 there, especially down verse 20 and 21, when I said a moment ago that we're making some good progress, you know we're going to slow way down when we get to verse 20 and 21, right? Well, once we eventually get there, who knows when that's going to be, but we'll get there soon. But boy, it's exciting to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is indeed going to come. See verse 21, it says, what's He going to do? He's going to change our vile body. And they're going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So there's some wonderful things to think about as we get down to those verses. But I want to begin today's lesson by asking you a question. And that is, how do you decide what church to join? It's like, what? What does that have to do with the context here? How do you decide what church to join? The title to the message this morning is, "Who to Follow and Who to Avoid." That's the title to the message this morning. And in the answer, as we study these passages this morning, you'll get the answer to the question of how do you decide what church to join, if you're going to join a church at all. You'll get the answer, and it's in these and other related verses. Okay, so go back with me then to verse 17. Paul is he's bringing the official of the main appeal of the book of Philippians. He's bringing it to a close, really, when you get down into the first part of chapter 4. That doesn't mean that the last part of chapter 4 is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It does. But the main, if you look back at chapter number 1, I want you to make a connection here, chapter number 1 to chapter number 4, verse 1. Look back at chapter number 1, verse 27. He says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Okay, now watch. Slow down. That you what? That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together like a united front for the message of God's wonderful grace. See that? See where he says, stand fast? And so, as he continues into chapter number 2 and into all the way through chapter number 3, now look at chapter 4, verse 1. Look at chapter number 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so do what? Amen. There's the connection. See how he just tied it back together with chapter 1, verse 27? So that's why I say, as you're coming to the end of what you and I have as chapter number 3, and then beginning and going to chapter number 4, he's really kind of bringing to a close the official appeal of the book itself. And then as you come to the last part of chapter number 4, how he basically takes and demonstrates how to apply this information, what it looks like. For example, when he talks about the issue of prayer, verse 4, 5, 6, the whole issue about prayer. That's how you get this, that's how we get it into our soul. Look at verse 8 of chapter 4. You think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. Verse 9, those things which you have both noticed. You've got to learn the things that he taught. Then you've got to receive them into your heart. You've got to hear them, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you've got to see them operational in Paul. It says, seen in me. Well, then do that. What Paul wrote down in the book of Philippians, and not just the book of Philippians, but what he wrote down for the Philippians, he wrote down how he let it work in him. So as he comes to chapter number 4, and he says, therefore what you've seen in me, let those same things work in you. And that's how the God of peace will be with you. And then he says at verse 10 of chapter 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Those two verses right there, that's the entire book of Philippians in those two verses. That's what it looks like practically. That's how to do it. So, back to chapter number 3, because we're not in chapter 4 yet, right? I'm just giving you some advance warning so you can decide whether or not you're going to come back, right? Kind of a concept, right? And get some more. It's just exciting the pattern he does here, isn't it? Amen. But when you go back to chapter number 3 then, what he's got to convey to us, what he's going to convey to us in chapter 3, especially verse 18 and 19, you got to know, he says it with a heavy heart. Who to follow and who to avoid, and how to decide. Who to follow, who to avoid, and how to decide. You see, that's why I asked the question, how do you decide what church to go to? The famous saying, go to the church of your choice. What's wrong with that statement? You're going to make the wrong choice. Think about that. Don't go to the church of your choice. Go to the church of God's choice. Find out which church He chooses. Find out which local ministry is preaching what He's preaching. Go to that church. Even if you got to drive 2 hours on a motorcycle. Kind of a concept, you know? We have some folks that are listening online right now. They live in Hemet. That's a 2-hour drive one way. So, is it worth it? You tell me, is it worth it? It's only worth it if your eternal soul is worth it. How much is your soul worth? How much is it worth getting sound doctrine in your soul? Doctrine that you will take with you into eternity. That's how you decide how much it's worth. Okay? People say go to the church of your choice. They say, oh, there's churches on all, there's so many churches and all these different blocks and everything. Just go to the one you're comfortable with. No! That's never the way to decide. You decide based upon, look at verse 17. Brethren, and then what does it say? What does the verse, What does God the Holy Spirit say? This is not my opinion. This is not even my interpretation. By the way, sometimes when you're showing the Scripture with someone, you're teaching them right division, and you're showing the verses, and maybe they're having a hard time with it, and they say, well, that's your interpretation. I say, well, yeah, why would I tell you someone else's interpretation? Just because it is my interpretation, that doesn't mean it's wrong or invalid. Of course it's my interpretation. That verse says, brethren, be followers together of me. Who's the me there?
Paul.
That's the Apostle Paul. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So some... Listen, you got to mark people. You got to mark people. See how it says mark them? So there are some that you're going to mark. You identify, you put, you know, imagine you put a little check mark on their forehead, right? Check mark, or an X kind of a concept. There's some that you mark, you identify, you point out on purpose for the purpose of seeing and identifying the doctrine they're preaching and following. The doctrine they're putting their audience under. Those you mark and you follow. But we're going to see momentarily. In fact, let's just do it real quick now, just so you can see where we're going. Go to Romans chapter 16. Go to Romans chapter number 16. There are others that you mark, you identify. Look at this verse here. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17. It says, Romans 16, verse 17 says this, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And what does that verse say there? Avoid them. Oops, let me just do this. Hold on. Mark and avoid. See that? Some you mark for the purpose of following. Others you mark for the purpose of staying away from. What does the word avoid mean? That means join them, right? What does the word avoid mean? That means, hey, you've got the message. You can join their group. You'll convert them all. That's what avoid means, right?
No.
Shake your head no. Yeah, some of you are going, what? John, what dictionary are you using? Yeah. Avoid means avoid. Follow means follow. These guys you avoid, those guys you follow. What was the question we started with? How do you decide what church to go to? That's how you decide. It's real simple. It has nothing to do with the size, big or small. It has nothing to do with the building that they have and so forth. It has to do with whether or not they're following the doctrine that the Scripture tells us to follow. And if they're not, if they're preaching contra that, then you just avoid them. You don't go to the church. You don't give your money there. You don't say, well, they're pretty good people. They're probably wonderful people. But if they're preaching the false doctrine, they're not facilitating, they're not edifying the souls of the people in the ministry there. That's just a fact. Go back with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. So understand a couple of things here. A few things. When he says at verse 17, Philippians 3:17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. Now, that could kind of seem like pride, right? Couldn't that kind of seem like... If I started preaching every week and said, guys, I want you to follow me. Follow me. Would that be a problem?
Yes.
Why did y'all hesitate? Come on. You should have just right away had the tomatoes ready to start, you know, kind of a thing. Right? Listen, when that verse says, brother, be followers together of me, you got to remember, Paul is not saying follow him as a man. But why does he say then follow me? It's because it's the... That's right. Say both. You said 2 points. The doctrine that what?
God gave him the doctrine.
God, Christ gave him the information, and that's what he's teaching. Look at how he says it over in 1 Corinthians 11. This is real important to get this because people do misunderstand this. They think, well, Paul's kind of prideful. Here he's kind of boastful. The Apostle Paul uses the word I more times in his writings than any other writers in the Bible do. So what do you call someone that is constantly using the word I? What in the world, what do you call them?
Prideful.
They're prideful. They're narcissistic, I think is the word. Is that the right word? You know, they're just focused on... And yet the Apostle Paul uses the word I more than... In all his epistles, uses the word I more than anybody, other writer, more than Isaiah. What's that?
There's a reason.
And there's a reason, exactly. And that's the point.
Nobody else is teaching.
What's that?
He got the direct teaching.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What Audrey said is he got the direct teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ about the dispensation of grace. That's exactly the point. When he says, look over to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says this. Be ye followers of me. And then what does he add there? Even as I also am of Christ. Okay, I got a question for you then. When he says, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Did the Apostle Paul follow Christ in line with Christ's earthly ministry to Israel that you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Okay, now everyone said no. It's kind of shocking. Wait a minute now. He says right there, as I follow Christ. So doesn't that mean he was following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What are some things that Christ taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Christ later taught differently than he taught to Paul? How about when the Apostle Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under what?
The law.
You're not under the law, but you're under what? You're under grace. Did the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teach and uphold and instruct others to teach and uphold the law? Yes, no. Absolutely. So the Lord Jesus Christ Himself
followed the law.
In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He upheld the law. But the information He gave to the Apostle Paul, He said, you know, there's something different going on. You're not under the law, but under your grace. There's at least one major difference between when the Apostle Paul says, be a follower together of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's not following Christ according to the prophecy kingdom program. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ according to the dispensation of grace program. A completely different program. Andy, do you have a question or comment?
I was just going to say, in 17 there, an important word is together.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and what she commented was when he said it at Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me. Go along with what he's preaching, okay? So understand this. Back to 1 Corinthians 11:1, when he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Where did the Apostle Paul, where does Scripture claim... Paul is claiming that he got this information from.
Galatians.
Where?
Galatians.
Excellent. Galatians chapter number 1. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. That's exactly right, Karen. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. Where did this information come from? Look at Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Watch what it says here. Galatians 1:11, and it says this, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, it didn't originate from man, right? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. The implication, taught it by man. But how to get it? What's that verse say? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul is speaking about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the source of the information is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When the Apostle Paul is speaking about the present dispensation of grace as depicted up here on the chart, he did not, after his conversion, he did not go back to Peter and say, Peter, please teach me everything that Christ taught you for 3.5 years because I'm on board and I want to preach what He taught you. That's not what happened. He got information that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. He got it over an extended period of time, by the way. Okay, Paul, in the book of Acts alone, the Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ either personally, eyeball, or in vision, or in one account, caught up to paradise at least five different times. It's incredible. Okay? So Paul got several downloads. Can I say it that way? Okay? As it were. All right? Got several deposits of information. So when the Apostle Paul says, "Be ye followers together of me," we're not following the man. You're following the doctrine that Christ gave to him. And when you follow the doctrine that Christ gave to him, now who are you following?
Christ.
You're following Christ. That's the key here. When he says, "Be ye followers together of me," be followers together of me, we're not following the man. You're following the doctrine that Christ gave to the man, to the Apostle Paul. Look at a couple of real interesting statements along these lines. I want you to get 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Get 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 here. We're also going to get 1 Thessalonians 4. We're also going to get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll take these one at a time. Unless we can do them at three at a time, right? Okay, look at, where did I say? I said 2 Corinthians 5. Remember how the Apostle Paul said that, "Be ye followers together of me, even as also I am of Christ Jesus," right? So he did follow Christ. But notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians 5, at verse 16. He says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." What's that mean? Did the Apostle Paul know Christ after the flesh, like as a Jew?
Yes.
Of course, in verse right there, he does. It clearly says he did. He was aware of Christ after the flesh. He had heard about Christ after the flesh. He knew there was a guy, Jesus of Nazareth, who went around claiming to do miracles, etc., things like that. He knew Christ after the flesh. But that verse demonstrates that when he says, "Be ye followers together of me, even as also I am of Christ Jesus," he was not following him after the flesh, after what you and I have as the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
His earthly ministry.
That's right, his earthly ministry. He was not following him according to that program. Isn't that interesting verse right there? Okay. Look at what else he says. Look over to 1 Thessalonians 4. You can let go of 2 Corinthians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Notice what it says here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, and it says this: "For this we say unto you as a result of reading the book of Matthew." Is that what that verse says?
No.
Well, let me keep reading the context. Because he goes on to say this: "That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up unto the coming of the Lord." Okay, so he's talking about the coming of the Lord, right? You see at verse 16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." You've got the trump of God and so forth. You've got verse 17, it says, "We shall be alive, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." See that? Can you think of any place in Matthew where the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, okay, two are going to be in the field, one's going to be taken and one's going to be left? Yeah, it's in Matthew, isn't it? And in that same context, it's talking about the coming of the Lord. Right? So in Matthew, you've got information about the coming of the Lord. In connection with this coming, you've got one that's taken and one's left. So see, that's what Paul must be talking about here, right? That's why I said at verse 15 that he says, "For this we say unto you by reading the book of Matthew." That's not what the verse says. You're not going to get information about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church of the body of Christ by reading the book of Matthew. The one that's taken and the one that's left, that's not the rapture. Indeed, the one that's taken is taken to destruction. Not to glory. The disciples ask, "Where, Lord?" And he says, "Man, wherever the carcass is, that's where the eagles gather together. The people that are taken to destruction." But you see, when people want to find out and preach about the rapture, they inadvertently changed that verse. They say, for this we say unto you, really, it's by the word of the Lord, but it's really in Matthew. It's in Mark and Luke or John. When Paul says in that verse, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, why does Paul use that phrase? Because this is part of the unique, direct information, the separate information. He didn't get this in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. He didn't get this out of Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, Daniel. He got this as part of the direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ directly to Himself. That's why you can only find information about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, the body of Christ, in Paul's epistles alone. Period. You'll not find it in Matthew. You'll not find it in Revelation. Even in Revelation 4, when John on earth sees the door in heaven open and a trumpet blasts and he's caught up. That's not the rapture, friends. The entire book of Revelation is about... But by the way, look at... Since I brought it up, I guess I better point this out. Go to Revelation 1 real quick. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. Revelation 1:3, it says this. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this what? Does that conclusively prove for you whether or not the book of Revelation belongs to the prophecy program or the mystery program? Okay, what did you say?
Yes.
How does it... By the way, that's the right answer. The word that John begins the book by telling you the book of Revelation is about the prophecy program, not about the mystery program. So why would you put the rapture in Revelation 4? And why would you make John, the author of the book of Revelation, a member of the body of Christ in type and figure, saying, well, John is caught up in Revelation 4. It must be the rapture. Why would you make John's not a member of the body of Christ? He's part of the little flock. He's one of the 12 apostles.
They don't want us to write and divide the word of truth.
That is exactly right. They don't want to write and divide the word of truth. They're concerned with the fallout of rightly dividing the word of truth. They're concerned with the consequences. Oh, people will upset the apple cart. People won't come to church. They won't give, so we can't pay for the mortgage kind of a concept. That's not how you decide, friends. That's not how you decide. You don't decide based upon numbers. You don't decide based upon giving. You don't decide based upon, you know, the congregation, everybody's, you know, standing up and swaying and singing and, oh man, boy, Jesus was, the Spirit was moving in this place. That's not how you decide. You decide based upon the written Word of God, right, the divide out of the King James Bible. That's how you decide. That verse right there, when it says the words of this prophecy, the book of Revelation is about the prophecy kingdom program. It's not about the dispensation of grace or the church, the body of Christ at all, period. Along those lines, when that verse says, see verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You'll hear the prophecy preachers say, oh, the book of Revelation promises a special blessing to you if you'll read the book. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Question. What is the blessing that the book of Revelation promises to those that read it, by the way, and hear it? What's the blessing? The blessing is they make it through the tribulation period. That's the blessing. The blessing isn't, well, your business is going to grow by 20%. The blessing isn't the price of your investment is going to grow by 25%. The blessing is in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells them how to get through the tribulation period. It tells them how to know that when you have the seals, each of the seals are broken. The trumpets and the last plagues. It tells them the time schedule. Tells them who to watch for, what to watch for, what to do when, how, and what to not do when and how. I.e. don't take the mark of the beast. That's a pretty big blessing, wouldn't you say? That's the blessing the book of Revelation offers to those that read and hear it. Now go back with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul there in Philippians, he said, brethren, Be followers together of me. Be followers together of me. And again, he's not appealing to us to follow him as the man. He's appealing to members of the body of Christ to follow the doctrine. How come? Because the doctrine given to him was given to him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this matter? Does this make a difference? Well, let me ask it this way. The Apostle Paul had personally been with the Corinthians to teach them for at least a year and a half. And in the book of Acts 18, it says a year and 6 months. And then it says, and a good while. So let's say it was an additional 6 months. So the Apostle Paul was with the Corinthians personally teaching them for at least a couple of years. You think you might could learn a couple of things, right? Paul himself personally teaching you. And then, of course, he continues with his apostolic journeys and so forth. Word gets back to him that, man, boy, things fell. They went south real quick. Similar to like what happened to the Galatians. So when he writes 1 Corinthians to them, spiritually speaking, how were the Corinthians doing?
Not good.
Just not good at all. He said, chapter 3 says, you are carnal and walk as men. There's infighting. There's all, I mean, virtually every chapter in 1 Corinthians, he describes some problems that they're having in the local assembly. But watch this now. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says this. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Okay, stop there for just a moment. Did the Corinthians have plenty of instructors? So the problem was not the 10,000 instructors in terms of the number of teachers. What that means, the problem had to have been something else. You could say, well, it was the students. The students just weren't paying attention, right? That's what, you know, the teachers' unions, all the things that teachers' unions in Southern California are doing, it's just a disaster. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I better stay on track, okay? It's just, oh man. Anyway, so the problem at Corinth wasn't necessarily the lack of teachers. It's what the teachers were teaching. It's the doctrine they were teaching that was producing the problem, creating the confusion. He says this at verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Through what gospel? The gospel of grace of God. Paul's gospel. Paul did not come into the Corinthian area with the Corinthian church and teach them the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, friends, the Corinthians were not members of the little flock. They were members of the church, the body of Christ. Some of you all understand what I just said there and the impact of what I just said. There's just some crazy... Anyway, Paul went into the Corinthians. He didn't teach them the gospel of the kingdom. He begot them through the gospel, through his gospel. When they believed his gospel, they became members of the body of Christ. But then... how quickly they got led astray by these other 10,000 instructors, as it were. So he says at verse 16, now, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. See how he appeals to them to come back to the doctrine he taught them. You see that there? Now watch this. Verse 17. For this cause. For what cause? For what intention? To get you to follow Paul. To get you back on track. There it is. See that? He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. What's he going to do? Who shall bring you into remembrance. Which means they knew it once, but they left it. He says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The answer for the Corinthian confusion that existed and exists to this day in the church is for the church to be brought back to Paul's ways, as Paul taught in all the churches. Now I got a question for you. Paul's not here today. Listen, you can try all you want. You can text him all you want. You're not going to get a reply. And if you do, it ain't from him. Okay? Someone else is trying to get your money. All right? You can call him on the phone. You can email him. You can try to find him on social media. He's not there. So how can you and I benefit? How can you and I know Paul's ways as he taught everywhere in every church? How can you and I know what that information is?
Read his
epistles is exactly right. In your language, in you have the King James Bible, you rightly divide it. You take and you find in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, you find the specific details about what God is doing now in history in the dispensation of the grace of God. That's where you find Paul's ways as he taught everywhere in every church. Paul's ways as were given to him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that, that is one amazing verse right here. You know who I think maybe was even more, not somewhat, but quite concerned about these verses right here? Who do you think?
The adversary.
Okay, the adversary, that's true. I was thinking about someone else, but who do you think was kind of concerned about this verse?
Timothy!
It's like, wait a minute now. I'm still kind of new to all this stuff. I just began to travel with you in Acts 16. This is only about Acts 19 when he writes this. And then Paul, by this time the Corinthians have got 10,000 instructors and you're going to send one guy? It was like, wait a minute, Paul. I just wonder what Timothy thought about this. Anyway, I don't mean to make light of the seriousness of the situation here. But there is a message in that. One person with the truth of God's Word rightly divided in a King James Bible is able to stand against, if they'll do it by faith, regardless of 10,000 people who are preaching false doctrine.
Until this day.
Think, what was that?
Until this day.
Until this day. That's staggering to think about that. One person who will take and preach the Word of God rightly divided out of a King James Bible, understanding what God is doing today. Just put the information out there and you'll have greater impact in the hearts and lives of people than 10,000 instructors who have no idea about what God's doing today. That's amazing to think about that. Grace churches across the country, not only this country but in other countries in the world, are typically smaller churches such as like this one here. So, people will come and they'll say, well, hey, you guys aren't very big. You're pretty small. You've been meeting for how many years and everything? And you know, the old saying, if you're going to start a Grace Church, you'll start with 50 people and in about 5 months you'll have about 7. but if you preach the traditional Christianity stuff, you'll start with 5 people and in about 6 months you'll have 3,500. And they'll say, see, God is blessing over here, but not you guys so much. That's what they say. That's not how you decide. The way to decide is based upon the Scripture, what it says, the information that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul for the dispensation of the grace of God. That's how you decide. When he says, look with me, get Romans 16... Get Romans chapter 16 now, and then 2 Corinthians, and Romans 16 and Philippians chapter number 3 again. We clearly just began to scratch the surface on this. And as always, I think every Sunday that you guys experience time travel Sunday morning when you're here, right? Time always speeds up when you come to church, right? That clock at least does, I think. But look at this verse. Look at Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and do what? What does the word say? It says to avoid them. I didn't write that verse. I didn't make it up. I didn't come and just add it to your Bibles. That's what the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write. If someone has trouble with that verse, they have trouble with God, the Holy Spirit, not with me. Think about that. When that verse, look at what it says very carefully. He says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause, what's this? Divisions and offenses. That's what you saw at Corinth. Divisions and offenses. You saw what it looked like. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. What is it that causes? Remember, cause and effect. Cause and effect is a real thing, right? Cause and effect. Tell you, do this. Go next time you're going to work out at home, get your free weights and everything, and go ahead and put your toe right there and just drop that free weight right on your toe. You'll learn cause and effect. Now, I kind of did that many years ago. To this day, my toe still reminds me of that. I didn't actually do it on purpose, by the way. I really didn't do it on purpose, okay? But anyway, you get the cause and effect. What is it that was producing the divisions and offenses within the body of Christ? It was those that were teaching doctrine contrary to what Paul taught. That's what produces the divisions and offenses. That's why it says you mark them and you got to avoid them. Don't go join them. Don't give your money over there. Don't say, well, you know what, we can change them. We'll go and infiltrate them and convert the pastor and then we'll convert the group. It isn't going to happen. Let me modify that. If it does happen, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And the verse still says what it says. You're going to have a greater impact when you, as one person, preaching the Word of God right divided out of a King James Bible, just go out and begin your own ministry. Just talk to people. Just, you've got a network of people already that you can talk to. A built-in system of trust with these people that you've built because of the integrity of your own life. You'll have a greater impact with them than you will trying to convert that pastor who's got a church of, you know, 200, 700 people, whatever. At any rate, that verse says, mark and avoid. Now, we're at it. Scott, go ahead quickly.
Yes, sir. An example of Galatians not avoiding those folks that were teaching them to put them under the law.
Yeah. Galatians is a great example of the fact that they didn't mark and avoid. And it messed them all up. Let me kind of bring this to a close today, which we're clearly not at all near done with the end of Philippians chapter number 3. We're just kind of scratched the surface here, as they say. So, to answer some questions, who are we supposed to follow?
Paul.
But why Paul? You said Paul, but why?
Because the book says, the Bible says to follow Paul.
Okay, because the Scripture says to follow Paul, but why does the Holy Spirit say in Scripture to follow Paul? Why? Because he followed Christ. You're following Paul, but you're not following the man, you're following the doctrine. You're following the information about what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. You're not saying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is unimportant. You're not throwing out the Old Testament. You're not taking the book of Revelation and cutting it out of your Bible. You're studying all of the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. You're looking at all the Bible in the light of where you are historically in the Bible. That's what right division is. It's not saying that Matthew isn't important. It's not saying that Moses isn't important. It's not saying that Isaiah isn't important. It's saying, wow, here's where we live historically in the outworking of the Bible. So in the dispensation of grace, from where we live, we're able to look back at time past, what God was doing in time past. We're able to look at the ages to come, what God is yet going to do in the future. We're able to look at it from where we live in history, in the Bible. We live in the dispensation of grace. So, who to follow? By the way, so who do you avoid? The tax collector, right? Yeah, no, okay. The government, yeah. No. Who do you avoid?
Those not teaching the Paul.
That's right. That's right. Those who not only are not teaching, because in some cases they're not teaching that Paul is our apostle, in some cases they're actively opposing that information. They're saying this dispensational, they're saying this mid-acts, right division, dispensational, King James Bible stuff. They're saying that that's what's causing divisions and offenses. Friends, no. That's what is dispelling the divisions and offenses. It's how many of you here today, and listening on the internet, you guys can raise your hand, okay? How many of you here today could give personal testimony to how coming to understand the Word of God right has just revolutionized your understanding of Scripture. What it did in terms of how you understand your security in Christ. How it set you free. How it enabled you to truly experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. To help you see that you're not Israel under a conditional system of blessing. To help you see that you're an heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ, that nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, everyone here today, and again, all the hands that went up. Did you guys all raise your hand on the internet? Okay, hopefully you did. But everyone said, man, this changed my thinking. It changed. I've heard people say, and how many times over the years have we heard people say that, boy, it's like getting saved all over again. It's like the Bible became a totally new book. So who do you avoid? You avoid those that are preaching against this information. And those who may not be preaching against it, but are not preaching for it, and they ought to be preaching for it. They ought to know better. That's how you decide. You decide based upon the Word of God. Right, divided. You decide based upon what the verses say. Ken, go ahead. It is. Let's go there and we'll wrap it up here. Ken pointed out 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at these verses here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 here. Look at these two verses. We're going to go verse 7 and verse 8. And then we'll wrap it up. We'll pick up here next Sunday. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 7 says this. 2 Timothy 2 7 says this. Consider what I say. Well, again, why? Because he's the apostle of the Gentiles. He says, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in what?
All
things. If we will consider what Paul says in his epistles, that is how the Lord gives us understanding in the whole Word of God. That's incredible. If you'll look at the Word of God from the vantage point of looking at Paul's epistles, in Paul's epistles, Paul teaches us how to look at the whole Word of God, how to understand it, how to interpret it. And he says this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David... Hey, wait a minute. Wait. That's the prophecy program. Was raised from the dead according to, what's it say there?
My
gospel. That's the mystery program. See what he just did there? He rightly divided the word of truth. He said, if you'll consider what I say, the Lord will give you understanding in all things. You'll understand both programs. The prophecy program, Jesus Christ according to the seed of David, and the mystery program. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Isn't that wonderful how the Word of God does that? So hopefully we've answered the question this morning, who to follow, who to avoid, how to decide what church to go to. And you do it based upon marking and following those that walk like Paul, and marking and avoiding those that teach contrary to that. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your Word this morning, for the insight, the wisdom that it so plainly gives, if we'll let it speak what it clearly, plainly says. We know, Father, and understand that in many ways this can be challenging and difficult, and because we have the flesh, because of associations that we desire and want, and especially the fellowship that we all as believers crave and need and want, and it's important. Help us to have that discernment to see and to judge, but not from the standpoint of condemnation, but genuinely out of love and compassion and tenderness, with the desire being not only personal individual growth in ourselves, but that of other members of the body of Christ. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's precious name. Amen.